Okay, welcome back to a whole new episode of It's All Geek to Me, a podcast where we discuss anything and everything geek related. I'm Tim.
And I am Trey. Today we are talking about one of the most lovely times of the year, right? Today is all about Valentine's Day. Love it or hate it, these days have given us some very comedic movies. And so today we are going to be diving into rom-coms. All sorts of rom-coms. Valentine's rom-coms all the way to wedding rom-coms and, yeah, everything under the sun. So stay with us because you know.
It's all geek to me.
If it's a comic book or a comic movie, it's all geek to me. If it's some sort of game or a show on TV, it's all geek to me. If it's a play or ballet, I agree. If it's a kind of dinosaur, a beach, or a tree, it's all, it's just all geek to me.
Oh, right, Tim, we're talking about rom-coms. Romantic rom-coms. Comedies. Rom-com.
Oh, boy. What?
As two dudes.
What an interesting way to start this podcast.
I know, right? Rom-coms. I will say, when I was younger, you would not catch me sitting in a rom-com.
Dude, however, I've always loved a good rom-com.
I don't know. Like, there's certain ones, like the... We're going to talk about some, but The Proposal, Sleepless in Seattle, like these like really classic ones, I was always hesitant to just sit down and watch because I didn't want to watch them. Like, it just never interested me.
Nothing
and
blew
now
up.
I'm at the point. What?
Nothing blew up. There's no explosions or gunfire.
But now I'm at the point where I'm going to go to theaters by myself sometimes to go see a rom-com.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm right there with you. Before we get too far into this, a couple quick housekeeping things. Sorry to our listeners. Life's gotten a little crazy unexpectedly for Trey and myself. So we haven't been able to get some of the videos up, but we're working on it. We'll get them up soon. All of the episodes will have video except this one. We've had some technical difficulties during recording. So this episode will not have a video, but our previous ones and moving forward will. They might be a little late sometimes because life's crazy, but we will get them up. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for supporting us as we do this whole thing. And yeah, I think that's all the housekeeping stuff.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, sorry about it. It's been hecka busy. Like you said, unexpected, but we are still aiming to get content out every week on Wednesdays, at least in audio form. And eventually down the line, you will be seeing those videos. So just bear with us. Oh, right.
But back to rom-coms.
Yeah, rom-coms. What is your definition? And it can't be romantic comedy. What is your definition of what is categorized as a romantic comedy movie?
Well, I think we need to start there because it needs to be a comedy. That's the first thing. Because like as we were like gearing up for this episode, I was trying to think of movies that I love, like romantic movies, because it's Valentine's Day. So we got to talk about something romantic.
I really don't like that voice. Please stop doing that voice.
I thought it was funny. So I'm like, I was trying to think of some, and like some of the first movies that came to mind, like one of my favorite like romantic movies is actually A Walk to Remember. Like, I love that movie, but that is not a rom-com because it's a romantic movie, but it's not a comedy at all. So I think that's where it needs to start. I think it needs to be a romantic and comedy. So it needs to have a lot of comedic elements. Whether that's, just slapstick humor, jokes, situational humor, any form of humor, it needs to have that. You need to be laughing. And then I think the plot needs to revolve around, in some way, romance. whether that's, I would even categorize a subplot as romance. As long as there's something along, whether it's main plot or subplot, it needs to be about romance between two characters, and then it needs to be comedy. And so I think if you hit those two elements, it can be a wide variety of films, which I think is a good thing. I think it's a good thing it's a wide variety of films.
I think you're absolutely right. I think at its core, it has to be a comedy. At its core, it has to revolve around some sort of romantic element. And I think of some examples like We're the Millers. That is a comedy movie at its core. However, there's no romantic really element or subplot in that movie. Maybe like a little bit, but it's not like the main purpose of it. And so I wouldn't categorize that as a rom-com. Whereas something like When Harry Met Sally, that at its core is a comedy. Let it be like more of a minute comedy, but at its core it is comedic. And it's all about this romantic relationship between Harry and Sally.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of on the other end of it, I'm trying to think of a movie that is just La La Land. Romance movie. For sure.
100%.
Not comedy whatsoever. No. Like, there are elements of it. There are parts in it that you laugh, but...
Fun fact, I took a girl that I had a crush on to watch that movie in theaters for my film class in college.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. Dang. Did not work out.
Definitely, like, even though it's a romance movie, that movie ends...
Oh, yeah.
Not so good.
No, yeah. They do not... Spoiler alert for La La Land. They do not end up together. Great film, though. Visually awesome, musically amazing. I actually really enjoy the story. Like, I think it's a great movie beginning to end. They just don't end up together, and me and this girl were sitting there and we're like, what, they don't end up together? Like,
were you both in the film class together?
No, I think I was, and we were kind of like, we were talking, and I was like, hey, I have to go see this movie for my film class. Like, do you want to come with? And so we went to the movie, and then we got donuts afterwards and talked about it. but yeah, fun fact. So
at the 24-hour donut shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that place.
Oh, college times.
Good old college. Movies and donuts.
Great that times. Was the go-to date. Like in,
oh,
like
I where hated. We were. I hated doing. It's Valentine's Day. We're talking about, you know, rom-coms. Might as well get into it. I think dinner and a movie is one of the worst first dates ever.
You need to be doing, like, I agree. I think the first date I took Maddie on, my wife, we went out to eat and we walked around town for a little bit. That was kind of like our activity. And then I took her back to the dorm room and we watched Alien. So we did watch a movie. See,
that works a little bit better, though, because you're in a setting where you can talk. Like,
that's
when you're watching Alien, you can talk. But even that, I wouldn't, like, that wouldn't be my go-to first date, because there is not, because a first date, there's always going to be lulls in the conversation, because you're still getting to know each other and you're still figuring out each other's vibes and everything. And so I think you need an activity to fill the lull of the conversation.
You do. And that's kind of where us walking around town was actually really nice, because we spent like an hour or so just walking around.
Nice.
And so we were able to do an activity. We were walking. We were like checking out different things. And so we were able to, every time we were able to like go to another section of town, we were kind of people watching at times.
Oh, that works. And that works well. Yeah.
Yeah. But I agree. A first date really should have an activity associated so that you always have something to talk about or something to do.
I think mini golf or bowling are great options. So you can do like dinner and then mini golf.
Yeah.
Dinner and then bowling or something like that. So you always have something to fill that void. I think mini golf is actually a little bit better than bowling, even though I like bowling more than mini golf, because bowling gets a little loud. So it's actually a little hard to have a conversation at times. We're way off of rom-coms, but it's fine. These are just, you know, fun first date thoughts with Tim and Trey.
I do think that going back to rom-coms, that we did kind of define that. Like, it at its core has to be that romantic comedy element. It has to have that element of, oh, I know I'm going into this movie because it's funny. Like, that's the draw. And so with that, we've had, I feel like there's been a gap in the years where we haven't had a lot of rom-coms. I feel like we have a lot of classics. And then there was like maybe 5 or 6 years where we really didn't get any big ones. And I feel like we're finally at that area now where we're getting more romantic comedy movies.
I would say we got different romantic comedy movies in that 5-year gap. Because I think we got a lot of streaming service romantic comedies. And I think they're also in, like, they weren't, like, they weren't in theaters. Cause like I said, they were streaming. And they weren't, like we have a fun fact for those of you who are listening. We have a list that we've kind of both compiled together of just some of the romantic comedies off the top of our heads. And so some of the new ones that Trey and myself have compiled is, like, No Hard Feelings, Anyone But You, Ghosted, Your Place or Mine, Look Both Ways, When We First Met, just to have, you know, an idea. So those are some of the new rom-coms, right, that we've been getting lately, the last couple of years. I would say definitely, like, No Hard Feelings and Anyone But You are on the more, like, mature, for lack of a better term, raunchier side.
They are.
Correct.
And we've had, I guess I'll preface too with those two specifically. We've had a gap in raunchy rom-coms.
Yes.
They were there, like, in like a decade before. There was a whole bunch of raunchy rom-coms.
Yes. That's where I was going to kind of come in, is I totally agree with that. Like, we've had a gap in that, but we've had some of them, like, When We First Met came out like 5 years ago. And some other ones have been sporadically put out into streaming services that have not been, they're more like family-friendly rom-coms. And, you know, and I would also say, there's always going to be, like, the Christmas rom-coms. Like, Netflix always has come out
holiday rom-coms.
Holiday rom-coms for days. And so I think that's another subplot. That's the word I'm looking for. Subgenre is a better term. Subgenre of rom-coms is those holiday rom-coms where it's all based around, like, Hallmark movies and just all those things. And so that's a whole nother area. But there's been a lot, I think there's been rom-coms, but they've been more hidden and not just, they've been more family friendly.
Yeah. And I feel like that's where I want the in-between of that. I want, my favorite rom-coms are the ones that are not family friendly, but are also not the raunchy. Like, I want them right in the middle between them.
Yeah.
And I do have, like you said, we've compiled lists. We both have compiled a list of our top 4 favorites, in no order whatsoever. But I'm looking at my list. I'm like, yeah, none of these are raunchy and none of these are family friendly, I would say. Like, none of these I would sit down with my 7-year-old or whatnot and watch.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Mine, I think one of them is more family friendly. And the other 3 are probably in that in between, like, you would take like a teenager or a young adult to. And
yeah
let's jump into it. Let's just jump in.
What is one of your top 4 favorite rom-coms that anytime it comes on, I'll sit down and watch this?
This is probably my favorite rom-com of all time. Hitch.
Okay. I don't think I've actually ever seen Hitch.
You've never seen Hitch?
I haven't.
Dude, with Will Smith and never Kevin seen James? Hitch with
Will Smith. Nope.
Oh, dude. Okay. This is one of my favorite movies of all time.
I guess this is going to be one of those classic movies we're going to watch for the podcast.
I mean, I don't necessarily say it's a classic movie, but I love it. Yeah. So it's starring Will Smith. And it's so funny. Yeah. So Will Smith and Kevin James are the main 2 guys. And it has Eva Mendes and Amber Valletta or something like that, however you pronounce her last name. The whole premise is Will Smith is what's called the Love Doctor. And people contact him basically saying, I have a girl that, and it's mainly guys that contact him, that I have a crush on, but I have no chance with her. And so basically Will Smith comes in and teaches them how to get a girl.
But I'll have to watch this.
But it, the premise of it is it's not to like just, you know, hit it and quit it type style. It's like to have a long relationship and to like be in love. And so Kevin James comes to him and says, hey, there's this girl that's this like billionaire. I don't think she's a model, but she's this billionaire, basically model. And he's like, man, I have head over heels for this girl. Like, can you help me? And it's all about him trying to help Kevin James get this girl. And so it's hilarious. It's funny. It's just, it's so good. It is my favorite of all time. Like anytime I have a chance to watch this movie, I'm like, let's do it. Like, let's go. Like, it's so good. It came out in 2005. And like, right. There's definitely some parts I don't think have aged super great, but I also haven't seen it in a minute. But it's my probably all-time favorite rom-com. Like, it's so good.
I would have to say this is my all-time favorite rom-com. And actually, I don't think you've seen this one either.
I don't think I
have. Mine is Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yep, have not seen it.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall is so good. It has Jason Segel and Mila Kunis. Is that how you say her name?
I don't know.
She's from That 70s Show.
Oh, I haven't seen that either. I know. Sorry.
But they're both in it along with, why can't I think of her name? Well, there's another famous actress in it, and Russell Brand.
Oh, nice. I have found with him that his roles are either they're either great or they're like, dude,
this
no.
one's
Bedtime
good.
Stories, Russell Brand in Bedtime Stories, he did a good job, in my opinion. But I've seen other ones where I'm just like, buddy. Yeah.
There's a family-friendly rom-com, Bedtime Stories.
Bedtime Stories. That's a great movie.
But Forgetting Sarah Marshall, it's all about Jason Segel. Basically, he breaks up with a very famous girlfriend, and he just can't get over her. He's trying to forget her, and he goes to Hawaii. He's like, just go. He's also like a composer for musicals.
Oh, okay.
And he really wants to get this like Dracula musical comedy like figured out. So that's like a subplot. But he goes to Hawaii to like get it out of her head. It was like a free trip or something. And he gets there.
And she's there.
Mm-hmm. And so it's all about that and like trying to forget him. Oh, Paul Rudd's in it as well.
Oh, I love Paul Rudd.
Jonah Hill. Like,
dang,
it's
a good cast.
Yeah,
I might have to watch that one.
So good. One of my all-time favorites. Anything with Jason Segel is hilarious.
I love Jason Segel.
So definitely my top. What about you? Next.
So now it's in no particular order. But this was more of a family-friendly one. But I love the movie Blended with Adam Sandler.
Doesn't that also have Terry Crews?
It has Terry Crews and Drew.
Yeah, I remember this. You showed it
Drew
to
Barrymore.
Me in college.
Yes, I think I did. It's just a funny movie. Like it's just the premise is Adam Sandler is a single dad, three daughters, and then Drew Barrymore is a single mom with two sons, and through happenstance and circumstance, they both end up going to Africa for a spring break trip, and it's not theirs. They like borrowed the trip. It was a free trip. And why do rom-coms always have some sort of free trip to a crazy cool location?
Because they have to get the characters together somehow.
That's
and
true.
No person in their right mind would just go to Africa or go to Hawaii on the whim.
Valid. That's a valid point. I mean, this Africa trip seemed dope because it's like out on a safari in a major resort. But they go and they're like stuck together, the six of them, I guess it would be, seven of them. And through pomp and circumstance, they fall in love. It's great. It's a funny movie. It's just a classic romantic comedy. So that's
kind of
one of my faves.
Talking about, so Adam Sandler has made a whole bunch of rom-coms. If we talk about someone who's made the most, he's up there.
He has. And
the funny thing is, he always makes them with Drew Barrymore.
Oh, they're in a million together. It's awesome. Oh, yeah.
And so I actually have one in my top four, 50 First Dates.
I saw this one in your list, and this is one of them that I could put in my list, but I didn't want us both to have like the same list. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to shift this one down because I love 50 First Dates. It's amazing.
Such a good movie.
It's so good.
And that, I don't want to go through the premise of every movie. I think most people would know what 50 First Dates is about. But the comedic timing of Adam Sandler, to be honest, this is probably one of my favorite Adam Sandler movies. I think 50 First Dates is top three, easily top two Adam Sandler roles. I think he kills it in this movie. And same with Drew Barrymore. I think this was like the top of what she could get to.
So, wow. I mean, I thought she was great in Blended. So I think Drew Barrymore is just great.
Also, Blended is also such a good movie, but 50 First Dates, there's just no premise like that. There's no random trip or anything. It's
that's
more
true.
Of,
they just live there.
Yeah, he finds her at a restaurant and is like, "Ooh, I want to talk to this person." Hit it off. Comes back the next day and then realizes
nothing.
What did I get myself into?
What happened here? Yeah, it's a great movie. That's a good one. Another one of mine is She's the Man.
This was when Amanda Bynes.
Yeah.
This was like the peak of her acting too.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm being 100% honest, I have not seen a lot of movies with her. But this movie's great. It's just so funny. Like her and Channing Tatum.
I always forget he's in that.
Yeah, he's the main guy. And like he plays a completely different character than he would. And it's so funny because they're all playing high schoolers and they all look like they're in college. And yeah. Same with like their high school looks like it's in college. But it's just so funny. But yeah, that's another great movie. That's just that one. Hitch are a movie like I could just put on and just like be like, this is great. Like, yeah. And just laugh the whole time and enjoy it. So that's a great one. What's your next one?
I just recently watched this one for the first time in the last maybe 3 years. Maddie actually introduced it to me. It's an older one, and it's one of those that kind of fall into the holiday kind of rom-coms, and it's actually called The Holiday.
This I love that movie.
You seen it?
Oh yeah, I actually so had good. It. I had my own personal list that I was just like I had like 20 movies on. And then I saw our list and I was like, oh man, we already have so many movies. I can't add more. And that was one of them. I love The Holiday.
Yeah. Jack great Black, film. Jude Law, Cameron Diaz.
It's just a stacked cast.
Kate Winslet. That's the other
yes.
person.
Yeah. Like it's a stacked cast. That movie I always mix up with another great rom-com that's not on my list, but I'm going to mention actually. It. No, The Last Holiday. Because it's similar okay. to not because of premises at all, but because with of titles. Yeah. And so Last Holiday is with LL Cool J and Queen Latifah. And Queen Latifah gets like a report from a doctor saying she's dying. And so she like does this, all these crazy stuff. But it's another kind of holiday rom-com. That's just a great movie. So, but The Holiday is great where they switch houses. Love that movie.
So that's a good premise. Very unique where they basically is like, I'll go to your house if you go to mine because we need a holiday. We need a time away. And so two women basically is like, yeah, I'll go here. You come to my house. And
another random trip.
It is a random trip.
That's all I'm saying. It's a theme in movies, a theme in rom-coms.
Okay. Now, the next one that we have, though, we both have on our list.
We both have it.
You cannot, I don't think there's a single person that doesn't like this rom-com.
I've never met anyone that doesn't.
When rom-coms come up, it's typically Sleepless in Seattle. It is We've Got Mail. And then I always hear about this one.
It's You've Got Mail.
Oh, You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally is also in those conversations. But this one's always in there too.
That's true.
What is it, Tim?
The Proposal.
The Proposal with Ryan Reynolds.
Sandra Bullock, man. Sandra, you can't forget Bullock. Sandra.
Oh, Ryan, man. Reynolds carries that movie, though.
I you can't just say he carries it. Sandra Bullock is amazing in that film. Not she saying that really Ryan Reynolds good. Isn't amazing, but I think they both together is incredible. Like, Ryan Reynolds does a great job, but Sandra Bullock is going toe-to-toe with him in that movie. Like, they are both phenomenal.
Yeah, that whole movie, when I first watched it, I had no idea what was going to happen. And that, I think that's what makes a good rom-com, is when the comedy, you can't predict.
Yes, it's just, it goes, that movie goes so hard in just like rant situational comedy. Like, it's not necessarily the things that they're saying, but it's just the situation that they're in, of like, I'm picturing like when they're driving the boat and Sandra Bullock lets go of the steering wheel and like walks away, and he grabs the wheel and has to swerve and she falls in the water. Hilarious moment. Situational. The male stripper in Alaska. Hilarious. Situational. Like, that movie is so good at its situational comedy. Like, it's just, it's great. It's all around just, it's great.
Yeah. And if you're listening and you haven't watched any of these movies, pick one. Like, we dare you, pick one for Valentine's Day and just watch it. Any one of these,
you'll have a great
time. You are going to have a good time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, with those, to be honest, I kind of want to go and watch a rom-com now. I want to I really actually want to watch Hitch now that I haven't seen it.
Hitch is hilarious.
And honestly, I actually really,
you and Maddie should watch that tonight.
I also really want to watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall again. Now that we've been talking about it, that is, I kid you not, that is a movie I will put on at any time and at any given day, even if it's just background. So, but let's talk a little bit about classics, because even though they're not in our top lists, I think we do need to talk about some of these classic movies that kind of shaped how rom-coms are now.
Yeah.
Because we joked around about it, but the whole random trip on a rom-com, well, that's a trope that started way, way back then. I don't know what movie started it, but you still see it in these classic movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We had this one. We got Sweet Home Alabama.
That's one of a great movie. That, like, comes that's up not a random trip, but she it's does not. Travel home.
Exactly. So there's still that kind of trip element to
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Harry Met Sally, that whole movie is literally about a trip.
True.
Kind of one long trip over many, many years.
I think there's a fun one on this list that we have. And it's not your typical movie you think of when you think of a rom-com, but I think it is, which is The Princess Bride.
Oh, absolutely. It's a rom-com.
And it's great, but it's not a typical movie you think of when you're like, oh yeah, rom-coms. No. Princess Bride is not one of them.
That one is actually kind of hard, because as we were talking about how at its core it has to have comedy, well, it also has to have that subplot of romance. In this movie, it's hard because the subplot of the romance is integrated into the comedy so much that it's a parody.
Yeah.
So can you call a parody a rom-com?
Why not?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I think you could. I mean, I think there is, even though it's a parody, it's still about romance. And actually, I'm going to switch this. I'm going to be, you know, we'll see where this goes. I'm going to change romance for love.
Okay.
Right?
True love.
Exactly. So at its core, romantic comedies are about like laughing and love, right? In A Princess Bride, there is laughing and there's love. It's not necessarily romantic love, but it's the love between a grandfather and a grandson. Boom.
That's a stretch. I thought you were going to go somewhere of, like, you know, it's true love that brings us together today.
Nah.
And how all rom-coms have to bring us together. I thought that's the route you were going for some reason.
Nah. I want a different route. But that's a good one.
No, I would agree, though, that Princess Bride is a rom-com.
Yeah.
At its core, it is basically just trying to get Buttercup and...
Wesley.
I can't think... Who?
Wesley.
Wesley, there we go. Yeah, Buttercup and Wesley together. Like the
dread pirate Roberts.
Andre the Giant and...
Ah, good old Andre. I forget the other guy's name.
Yeah. Why can't I think of his name?
I don't know.
Inigo Montoya.
Yes.
I am Inigo Montoya.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Yeah. He's my favorite.
There's a movie on here in your classic rom-com list that I don't think is a rom-com. I disagree with you. And that movie is The Notebook.
The Notebook. As soon as I looked at it, I was like, yeah, that's not a rom-com.
Come on, man. Yeah. That is not a rom-com. And I think the people listening would agree with me.
Yeah, there's not really a lot of comedic elements in that. That is a very melodramatic.
Yes.
Like,
that would romance. Be a romedy. No. I don't know. I was trying to think of romantic and drama, but it's not romedy because that's just another way to say rom-com. But dramatic? Yeah, it's fine.
It's dramatic.
Sure.
I would also say, like, The Notebook, because there's other movies that I really enjoy that are just straight romance, like Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
Straight romance.
Mm-hmm. So I would also put that at, like, romantic and drama.
Drama, yeah.
Yeah.
So you have one here that I guess I never really thought of, and there's a remake of it. She's All That.
Yeah. I would consider that a romantic comedy.
Absolutely. I completely forgot that movie existed.
Great movie.
Yeah. And like I said, they just did a remake on, I think, Netflix called He's All That.
He's All That.
Which
it's kind of a modernized, it's a cute movie. If you enjoy the original, I definitely go say watch it. I don't remember the actress's name in the original, but she's in the new one. I think it's like Lee Cook or something like that. Leanne Cook. But that movie is really good. The new one is funny. It does a great job. It's Rachel Lee Cook. That's what it is. Does a great job of taking a lot of the original elements, but then modernizing it. And yeah, I think they do great at that. So definitely recommend if you haven't seen it. It's an easy watch. It's only like an hour and a half. And
that movie itself. So She's All That, He's All That. It almost takes me back and makes me think, like, there's a whole nother genre here of rom-coms. So you have, like, so we've been talking about Sweet Home Alabama, Harry Met Sally, 50 First Dates, all these. You have the group of romantic comedy, but you can split them up even more. We've talked about family-friendly, raunchy, things like that. She's All That, I feel like, is really the signature teen rom-com.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's a lot of movies that came out and are still coming out on Netflix and these streamings that are definitely geared towards it. So, She's All That is one that I think of. I also think of the one with Heath Ledger. It's based off of Shakespeare.
Oh,
it's not How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yeah.
Because that's with Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, that's a funny
movie.
That's
also a good one.
That one was also on our list, and that's a funny movie.
It has a number in it. It's like 10 ways.
No. 10 things I hate about you.
There you go. So like that, I think, is the teen rom-com.
Yes.
And I would also put one of your favorites in there, She's the Man. That's rom-com.
That is very much a teen rom-com.
And there is a very specific kind of group that watches that. I'm not saying no one can watch that. I'm just saying, like, those movies, the way they're made and presented all feel the same in a way. Do you agree?
I mean, because I think it's just the premise is the same. It's always a high school. It's always a high school situation. And then it's, you know, insert the comedy into the high school situations. And I think that's why they're very easy to relate to, especially for, like, our age.
Yeah.
Is... because a lot of it makes fun of those high school, you know, stereotypes. Yeah, and it's like, oh, we can all relate to high school stereotypes. And so, but yeah, I definitely feel that and I can see that. But I feel like at its core, a lot of rom-coms feel the same in general.
They do.
With they varying plots, but they all kind of feel the same.
I feel like all rom-coms follow this like general kind of like wave.
Oh,
of,
yeah.
Introduce characters. Characters meet or characters already know each other. Characters hate each other. And then you have this like uphill battle of them having to be together for some reason or meeting up again. And then falling in love, like a time of falling in love. Something happens that they start hating each other again. And then they find out, no, I can't live without this person. Like, that's kind of...
Yeah, 100%. Like, I definitely agree at its core. And I think this is actually a perfect transition to kind of the last thing we're going to be talking about, which is kind of new rom-coms. Because I think new rom-coms have done a great job of taking that premise and, like going with it and doing modernized tellings, whether it's remakes, like He's All That, or kind of new twists, like When We First Met. Like, Netflix did a time-traveling rom-com movie and it works really well, or like No Hard Feelings with Jennifer Lawrence, Anyone But You. Like, these movies do a great job of taking that simple wave and doing a great job with it. And I think something that's really cool nowadays is that they're not relying on the old stereotypes. I think movies for a while were doing, they're being new. And I bring up When We First Met, and I'm going to kind of do some spoilers for this movie. So if you haven't seen it, I recommend it. It's on Netflix. But in the movie, the protagonist, the entire movie, he's traveling back in time to when him and the girl, the main girl, think like when they first met. And he's trying to change that day to get out of the friend zone and be the man that she falls in love with. And through everything he does, it doesn't work. And by the end of the movie, he realizes the girl that he's supposed to be with is her best friend. And that's the girl that he really is in love with, but doesn't realize it till the very end. That's a great twist that I think classic rom-coms would not have done.
And I absolutely agree with that. I think out of the whole list that we have of our new rom-coms, When We First Met is on like the top ones of the new. And I really like the premise. I like the way it runs.
Sorry if I spoiled that for you if you haven't seen it. I assume you saw it.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Okay, good.
Whoopsies. Yeah, when it first came out, I actually watched it. I think it came out when we were in college.
Yeah.
But something I'm missing in these new rom-coms is an element of longevity, I think is the word. There's a lot of these classics that we talked about, and they're classics for a reason, but when they came out, they weren't called classics. Yet people saw them and they were Oscar winning. They were great. They were like wonderful, and they're still romantic comedies. We haven't seen that in these new ones. Not a single one of these new ones that we have on our list have been nominated for any Oscars. And I'm not saying Oscars are the end all be all. They're not. But none of these that I've watched have had me leave thinking, wow, that was really good. Or like the cinematography, or like the dialogue, or something in it that changed me. Because that's why we watch movies, right? We watch it because it changes our feelings, the emotions. And I miss that. Because I can go back and watch When Harry Met Sally and get all the motion still from it. I can go back and watch Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and I can go through that whole up and down weaving kind of the emotions the character is going through and the comedy with it. I'm not saying Forgetting Sarah Marshall is a Oscar winning by any means, but I'm just saying that there's these movies that I feel like I get so much from.
Mm-hmm.
And yet now, right now, when I go into a rom-com, even if it may give a twist ending, like When We First Met, it doesn't feel as if it feels the same, I guess.
Yeah, I totally get that. And I think the reason we're getting that is the movie industry as a whole isn't in that spot right now. Yeah. It's in a very like superhero action adventure meets nostalgia thing right now, where that's the majority of movies that are coming out. They're either superhero movies, they're adventure movies, they're nostalgia movies, whether that's a remake or a sequel that's been from a movie that hasn't been touched in decades.
I'm so tired of them. That's
where we're at right now. If you look at all these classic movies like Sleepless in Seattle, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Princess Bride, 50 First Dates, you know, all of these ones that we've talked about, look at the other movies coming out around that time. They're all rom-coms. I'm thinking like the Tom Hanks era with Sleepless in Seattle, You've Got Mail, all those movies, They all came out within like a 7-year period. And then you have the like Hitch, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, Blended,
Proposal.
I wouldn't even say Blended or Proposal, because those came out a little later. I would say Proposal, yes, but I'm thinking like 2000 to 2010. Okay. Like I would say Proposal's at the tail end of that if I'm getting my dates right. But those came out within a 10-year period. A lot of those rom-coms. And then you had, you know, the 2010s, which I feel like early 2010s is when we started to fade away from those. And I would even throw in Forgetting Sarah Marshall within that 2000-2010 range.
Yeah.
And so you get eras of movies within Hollywood. So, you know, and we are not in a rom-com era currently.
So tell me, with our categories of rom-coms then, was the original Spider-Man movie a rom-com?
No. Spider-Man was, it's a superhero movie.
Couldn't a superhero movie also be a rom-com though?
I wouldn't consider Spider-Man a comedy.
What about Guardians of the Galaxy?
No.
No? Why?
Because I feel like by the time you get to romance, you've gone through superhero category, you've gone through adventure category, you've gone through sci-fi category, you've gone through comedy is in there. And then, because it's not a main plot and not a subplot. Like, I would say romance between Gamora and Star-Lord is not a subplot or main plot. Can't have elements of those. Because I think in any successful movie as a whole, you're going to have some comedy. You're going to have some romance. You're going to have some drama. You're going to have all of these bits and pieces. But what is your focus of your movie? What is, you know, and then what's just adding flavor? You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say I agree with both of those. I just wanted to know your opinion on them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. There are eras, and you can definitely see those eras.
Yeah.
Hopefully, my fingers are crossed, we do have a new era of rom-coms after superheroes, because I am tired of superheroes. I am tired of sequels. I want more original ideas. Just look at the box office. Original ideas are doing really well. Oppenheimer was really well. Barbie went really well. So give us more original stuff. Give us some more rom-coms.
Yeah. I mean, I think we'll get there. But I think just the industry as a whole, and it's such a really interesting way to end this episode on rom-coms. But the industry as a whole is shifting right now. And we've mentioned it before when we've talked about the writer's strike and the actor's strikes and everything going on in the movie TV industry right now. It is in a massive shift. With streaming becoming the primary focus of consuming media and movie theaters still being important, but not as important, because a lot of the time with just prices and inflation and everything, people are waiting because it's more financially beneficial to wait to watch a movie than to go see it in theaters. And so with all of that going on, the way movies are made and the way actors are used, it's very different than the 90s. And even early 2000s. And so, like, you basically, in the past, you could have had Tom Hanks and then some other big female lead in a rom-com, and it would have been a success. That may not be the case anymore. And so, it's very interesting the way movies are being made. And so, we're in a very big shift right now, and I'm very curious to where it's going to end. But I will say, the nice part about this is, we mentioned all these new rom-coms. We've listed, you know, 6 or 7 of them. And the big kind of thing that you said didn't grab you was that they weren't like, you know, these high-end, more high-end movies that made you feel something necessarily. these movies back in the early 2000s or 90s when we mentioned all these classic rom-coms would not have seen the light of day. And so that's something that's really nice about the way we're at now is movies that necessarily isn't going to be the best story ever that's going to make you feel something is going to still be made.
As you're talking about that, that makes total sense. And it reminds me of a movie that was made because no one would say like a greenlit it. It got greenlit for the Sundance Festival, I believe.
Okay.
Palm Springs.
I never saw that movie.
That is such a good movie. Think Groundhog Day, but on steroids with J.K. Simmons.
And Annie Samberg.
Andy Samberg and I can't think of the girl's name, but the girl who plays the mother in How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, nice.
So such a good movie, and that is for sure a rom-com right there.
Yeah. But yeah, I think even though the movies are made differently and feel differently, I think it's actually a good thing right now because we're giving a lot of actors and a lot of movies that normally wouldn't be made back in, you know, 30 That's years true. Ago a chance. So fair. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a great place to actually end the episode, but
ended on a long Tim monologue.
Tim monologues rock. We need to make a shirt with that.
Tim monologues rock. Only Tim's would buy them.
So, if you enjoy these episodes, these podcasts, like, subscribe, leave a comment. It helps a lot. Thanks for supporting us through kind of all of this. We enjoy making these, even if it's just for us too. We release episodes every Wednesday, or at least we try to. And we will be getting those videos up on YouTube shortly. So be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. Share with your friend, like Trey said. Do all the things. It really does. Like, I know everyone nowadays, you hear that all the time. All the podcasts and stuff and videos, but it really does actually help with the algorithms. So we do make this because it's enjoyable to us, but we would like to have people listen. And so we would love to hear your thoughts on maybe some episodes that you would want to hear us, you know, ramble and talk about. And so send us a message on all the socials on what you'd want us to talk about and maybe what you want us to say. So we'd love to hear some input, and we have a lot of exciting things coming up, so stay tuned and give us a listen every Wednesday, like Trey said, because you know
it's all keeps